you have such high expectations like they did this year, and you get off to the start that you did, it's very disappointing to watch it in the moment. And while this is a long-term plan, it's going to be hard to swallow the fact that even if the Mets finish this year very hot, they're going to win less games than they did last year, which is kind of hard to believe. They have, you know, recording this on Tuesday, they've got 12 games left. Let's say they go 6-6, which I feel like I'm almost like begging for 6-6 at this point.
I think you'd probably take that. I mean, and it's amazing given where the standings are and how much pressure is on them that you would accept 6-6. That's
83 wins. That would be the lowest win total for a playoff team, COVID aside, since the 2006 Cardinals. And they won a division. I don't think we've ever seen a wild card team do that.
It's not been a good year. I mean, it's been, it might be a playoff season, but it hasn't been a good season. And that's where they're stuck. And then that's, you know, certainly the current shape of the playoff picture. It is so interesting, Rich, that so many decisions, even in this very objective sport where analytics are so popular, you go back and wonder if Alonso does not hit that home run against the Brewers, how many decisions are different? So basically, to take it back, and that moment, by the way, had 50-50 to it. It was out. You credit Pete authored an iconic organizational moment. Second of all, Devin's tipping his pitches. And so if he doesn't tip his pitches, let's say there's a greater likelihood that the Brewers get out of that game and win it. Who knows, right? Does he get traded to the Yankees? Do the Mets feel the same need to bring back Pete? Do they pursue things differently? I imagine they probably still would have pursued Soto, but there's a lot of things about the Mets, I think, go back to that moment and things that have transpired since then, and probably even for the Brewers too.
Yeah.
It just makes you wonder. And the point there is, even if the Mets go out and win a couple rounds of the playoffs, let's say they get back to the NLCS, surprisingly, let's just mark this time as we're having the conversation, Rich, on September the 16th, that no Mets fan nor Mets employee should be lulled into thinking that the 2025 season overall was a successful enterprise. It just, the regular season says that something was wrong. It's a decent team. It's at least a decent record, a decent outcome, but not a good one. And certainly not a very good one. And I think that's where there needs to be a little bit of introspection about where are we really, and I think just as importantly, what can you count on McLean, Sproat, Tong in 2026, and how does that inform the decisions that you're going to make? There are teams that have clear cut what they should do to do lists for the offseason where it's obvious. This is going to be, I think, one of the harder and more interesting things to watch, because it is both a team that needs a lot of work, and the work that is needed and the players that are needed are not necessarily obvious. And that's going to make it fun to follow, I think, for the next several months if you're a Mets fan.
It truly is fascinating, because even last year going into the winter, you kind of knew exactly what they needed, whether they filled that role or not. You're like, we got to go after Soto. We got to bring Pete back. We got to bring in some starting pitching. I have no idea what they would do this winter, especially if this season ends poorly, which it very well could. And, you know, to your point about like the chemistry and the results, I think the reason they have been so frustrating and why there may be large changes is because they are a lesser of the sum of their parts type of team.
Right, they are.
Whereas you look at some of these other teams, and look, I don't think the San Francisco Giants are particularly good. I don't think any of these other teams chasing the Mets are that good, because I don't even think the Mets are that good, and they're much more talented. But like a team like the Giants in many years is often better than the sum of their parts. You look at them on paper and you're like, how is this team doing this? The Brewers even, like I think you kind of wonder how it all kind of clicks in together, and there's something in the organizational, you know, foundation there. There's something in the mix of those players and what their manager is doing that kind of makes them better than you think that they would be. And the Mets are the opposite, at least this year. And that is something that I think has been confounding to people all year. And it makes it hard to figure out what you do about it, because that's an intangible thing. It's not on paper. You don't know how guys are going to mix and why last year's team was the all vibes team and this year is the team that everybody hates to watch but will watch every day anyways. It makes it fascinating.
Yeah, and I think and this is something that I'll be honest and say it is a question I am asking. I don't have the answer to this. I'm not in a daily position around the team to be able to have a credible answer to it. But I wonder if you asked if there was an anonymous survey given to the clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what the results would be. I'm just saying it's an interesting question. And if you said, okay, is this Lindor's team? Is this Soto's team? Is this Pete's team? What's the answer?
Mm.
I don't know. I'd love to know, but I don't know. And I think that might be I'm not saying that you have to have an answer to that question, but I'd be interested to learn what people think it is. Because I think there are very few teams in baseball that have three superstar everyday players of that caliber about whom there could be a robust conversation about whose team it is. My instinct is that in a lot of ways it's Lindor's, but
I would think so,
but I don't know. Sometimes in the world of pro sports, sometimes the person who things default to the guy who has the biggest paycheck. So, but I tend to think that it seems like the answer would be Lindor. That's my guess, but mm-hmm. I stress that it's only a guess. And I just think it's fascinating how that answer plays and what that means for the future. And and remember, next year, by the way, in terms of talking about developing a cohesive group, a lot of these guys are going to be gone for the WBC. And so will that be good? Will that be, I don't know. Maybe in some ways, sometimes it benefits a player to go out, play for the national team. You're in a different vibe. You have a different role, different identity. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good. And sometimes you bring back some lessons and it makes you a better player. I just think this team is as fascinating as the next 2 weeks, plus they hope 4 weeks will be. I think the next 6 months are going to be just as interesting about where this team is going in the long term.
Yeah, and that was one thing I wanted to ask you about. And now that we're getting into it, you know, let's say this team either doesn't make the playoffs at all or, you know, they lose in the wild card round, which both things are possible. I think, yeah, they could make a big run, like, because it's baseball. They've given you no real evidence to think that that's going to happen. But shy of getting to the NLCS or a World Series or something, how aggressive do you think the changes or like a shakeup with this team would be? Because you have a guy in Steve Cohen that like comes from the financial world, like pretty cutthroat type business. He invested a ton of money into this team. They had a ton of expectations. Season tickets have gone up. He's criticized Met fans in the past for not showing up as much. If they flame out, how, you know, what level of the shit, you know, is it just a couple guys? Do they blow up what the core is, shy of a Lindor and a Soto who are going to be here for a while? Like, you know, do they let Pete leave? Do they try to trade a Nimmo or a McNeil? Is the manager at risk? That kind of stuff. What is your feel on that?
I think all things would be on the table. I it would not be my first answer to change the manager, but I suppose if they miss the playoffs, it'd be hard to say that it's off the table, right? From looking at teams with this type of payroll, if you miss the playoffs, it's kind of hard to say that anybody's job is secure in that circumstance. I think that I'll say this about Pete. I don't see many ways in which they let him go and get better. I don't know how. I realize he's not a perfect player, but man, he drives and runs. He loves the big moment, and he'd be massive to have to replace. They're stuck a little bit, because one of the hardest things to do in sports is bring back players from a team that didn't perform well and then say, well, it's going to be different. Well, how? And then a lot of the guys you're talking about, you know, McNeil and Nimmo, they're not, their numbers haven't been especially good recently. I don't know what their value would be contractually. Mm. And again, the catching position was supposed to be better than it has been offensively this year. That's another big thing. Who's going to play center field? I mean, there's a lot. I mean, they have got some serious things to work on. And now yeah. Do I think, I mean, the ultimate for NL East rivalries would be, okay, you know, okay, Kyle Schwarber come up. And you know, I would doubt that's going to happen.
They would still need a first baseman.
Right. Exactly. Now, yeah, I mean, Kyle has played there before, but I think now he's a DH for the most part. Yeah,
his age.
Yeah. I don't know. There's – to answer the question, I would imagine they would be open-minded to doing at that point just about anything to try to get a more fluidly functioning offense. That's sometimes I remember Steve Phillips, of course, ex Mets GM. He's often had there have been teams about which I remember it's a line that he has had. I'm not saying he said it's about this team, but I'm just saying in general, when you watch a game, a question that he would often ask himself when he's evaluating a team is, do the at-bats seem to be connected to each other?
Mm-hmm.
And I just, when I watch the Brewers play, they connect their at-bats. The Tigers do to an extent. The Yankees, even though they're flawed, do that too. The Mariners recently have done that. The Phillies definitely do that.
Yeah.
I don't really know that beyond the first few players that the Mets really do that very well. And I think that's something where they've got to work on that. You almost need, you know, a player like Yandy Diaz would help this team. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they can get him, but like that kind of doesn't strike out a lot. Just as a good, he can handle good pitching. They need some more of those types of players on this team. And I don't know. But if you can't really move your guys, if the contracts aren't working out right now because it's hard to find a taker for all of Nimmo's money or all of McNeil's money, now they're in a situation where even if they have to eat a significant portion of it, they may be able to. Obviously, they've done that before. Yeah. And now that will obviously potentially create some complexities with respect to the CBT, which that's more of a December topic than a September topic. But they will need, I think, to aggressively – at least price out and see which of our players have value in the marketplace.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.